Alrighty, we're doing the survey of the Gospels. And so we're in the book of Luke now. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we've said of Ezekiel 1, the four faces. And we went through Matthew and and then went through Mark. And now we're on Luke. And face the eagle, face of the lion, face of the man, the face of the ox. And so here we are. And the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll start there. Matthew being the face of the lion, Mark being the face of the ox. And Luke chapter 1. And again, these are just so we understand these books and get some scripture out of them and get the big picture. And so Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So Luke is starting off by saying, hey, a lot of people have talked about this. A lot of people have talked about these things we believe about who Jesus was. And since they've talked about it a whole bunch, verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and the ministers of the word, it being good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll talk about this. Lord, your word's wonderful, Lord. The Gospels are beautiful. The harmony of the Gospels is an amazing thing, and we thank you. We're learning again just how wonderful our Savior is, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray you'd help us as we study this and get the picture of the book of Luke, and I pray you'd speak to us now and help us to see it and get it and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke is the picture of Jesus as man and the face of man. And so it's very clear in this book that that's how he's pictured. And the key verse would be Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the Son of Man. The key words in the book are the Son of Man. Jesus is called, and almost most of the time he's calling himself the Son of Man. 26 times he calls himself the Son of Man in the book of Luke. And it's interesting because John, he's called the Son of God all the time. But in Luke, he's called the Son of Man. Now, Luke was a very educated man. He was a doctor. He's mentioned all throughout the New Testament because he stayed with Paul all the way until only Luke is with me in 2 Timothy 4 at the last things Paul wrote. Luke traveled with Paul. He wrote this book, the book of Luke, to a man named Theophilus, which is a Greek name. And we think that Luke was the Gentile, probably Gentile, and the only Gentile writer of the New Testament. And look at the book of Acts. We'll see the second part. He wrote Luke and he wrote Acts. And Acts chapter 1, we see, is a second part of his history. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I written unto the, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Acts is a second part of Luke's history. The first part, he says, hey, a lot of eyewitnesses, direct eyewitnesses, have told us what Jesus did. We've all believed there's a great power and there's a great miracle in these apostles, but I want to set down in order all the things that happened. I've traveled with the apostles. I know the apostles. I'm a historian. He was a very educated man. He wrote down every detail. And he said, I'm going to set it in order. And Luke is actually an exact chronological book of Jesus' life. It goes from the very start to the very end of his life. And he just paints the whole picture. It is the longest of the Gospels. There are a lot of details, as you see in Acts and in Luke. He was a very good historian, a very accurate writer, and a very detailed writer. And he records Jesus and focuses on the Son of Man, because Luke really focuses on the humanity of Christ. Let's look at some of those verses where he's called the Son of Man. Luke chapter 6 and verse 5. And he saith unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And then verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. chapter 7, and again, he's calling himself the Son of Man. Chapter 7. I'm making you clear your throat now. Don't my throat clearing. All right, I got y'all. Ready? Everybody cough at once? All right. And verse 34. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. Again, calling himself the Son of Man. Chapter 9. And we'll get back to that verse we just read a little later on something else. Chapter 9. Verse 22, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. And 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. You see, Jesus obviously has an agenda when he's talking about himself, and he keeps calling himself the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And let's see, verse 56 through verse 58. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went into another village. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Again, he's showing, hey, I'm a poor guy. And but he calls himself the Son of Man. There's many of the verses we could do that and show you that, of course, because Luke shows the humanity of Christ. Now, certainly, isn't it strange? People say, like, for example, Muslims will say, well, you know, Jesus wasn't really claiming to be the Son of God. He wasn't claiming to be raised from the dead. That was later on. That was Constantine. That was later on. Listen, all the people who were around at the time of Christ, the apostles and those that knew the apostles, they all wrote the same thing. Wouldn't you think one of them would have said, hey, some people got it wrong. They say he's the Son of God, but he's just a guy. He was just a prophet. But there's no firsthand witnesses who ever said that. They all came, whether it's Peter or James or John or whoever, they all came with the same things and said, he's the Son of God. Luke, Mark, they all kept saying, he's the Son of God. And we'll get to it in a minute. Luke does not go away from that. However, Luke focuses on, while Mark emphasized, remember, the touching of Jesus, how he touched people, how he was laboring, how he's doing miracle after miracle, and he's among the people, and emphasizing the laboring part of Christ among us, Luke shows how he was the God-man. He was a God-man. First of all, it starts off with the genealogies in Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1, and it gives the genealogies of Christ, and it gives his genealogy on Mary's side. Remember we talked about that? The genealogies are different in Matthew and Luke for a reason. And he's covering Mary's side. Why? Because he was physically a human from Mary. He was not physically a human from Joseph. He was God from God. But Luke goes to the genealogy on Mary's side. Why? Because it's showing he's the God-man. And this one time in history, you can't explain it, you cannot understand it, but God had to become a man, and he was 100% God, but he was clothed in flesh and became a man. And Luke's emphasizing that he truly was a man, and it goes into great detail on Mary's side of the genealogy, the human side, gives great detail about his physical birth. Let's go back to chapter 2. Talks about the city he was born in, the shepherds being there with him. It talks about him being born in the manger in Luke chapter 2. Verse 7, and it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. Remember, it's focusing on Mary. Luke talks about Mary much more than it does Joseph. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Notice the humility. Not the kingly that Matthew focuses on. Not what John focuses on, but he was laid in a manger. The humility, great details. And then it talks more about his childhood than any other gospel. Jesus gets lost, chapter 2. He's not lost, but his parents, they can't find him. And they're looking for him in verse 49. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business. That's the only time we have Jesus' childhood, really. Excuse me. We don't have much about Jesus' childhood, except for Luke. We have the humble birth, we have the manger, we have him teaching, we have him disappearing, we have him as a child. We don't have that in Matthew and Mark and John. We have more details about his childhood than anything else. He's called the Son of Man. Why is it so much emphasizing this? We see him eating with people more in the book of Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. We see him eating with people more than in other books. It emphasizes him being among people. Chapter 5, verse, 29. Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat with him. But the elders and scribes murmured with his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We read earlier about how he's eating with another group of people. And it talks about him eating with a lot of people. Chapter 7, he's just being with humans. He's just a person. Verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired of him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Again, he's just being with people. It's just showing him. And John, emphasizing a different side of Jesus, would not do that a whole bunch. That's not what John really was doing the whole time in the book of John. And that's not what he was doing. It shows his surprise, for example, just showing how human he was. And his surprise, chapter 7, and let's see, Luke chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them. At him, and turned about and said to the people, I say unto you, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. So he marveled at somebody. That's a human emotion. And you see that with him. He was laughed at, chapter 8. And verse 52. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. So they laughed him to scorn. And that's something that happens to us. We get laughed at until we're embarrassed. But of course, when she rose from the dead, who was laughing? He who laughs last laughs best. And there you go. He was laughed at. He had feelings, chapter 19. Just shows his feelings in there, just showing the human side of Jesus. And verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. So you see that human side of Jesus. You see that's emphasized in a lot of different ways. And I want to say that one of the great things about the Bible, remember we read in Hebrews, it says he was not a high priest that cannot be touched with hands, but was in all points tempted like we are. He can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's not like that, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Again, one of the great things about Jesus is he came down as a man. He was tempted. He was weary. He was sorrowful. His soul was weary unto death. All these emotions. And the great thing about it is he showed us what needed done. He showed us how to do it as a man. He had to be spirit-filled. He had to pray. He had to use scripture to fight the devil, devil's attacks. And so he showed what a perfect man would be like and what the Son of God. Of course, he was God, but he became a man. Why did he do this? Why the phrase Son of Man so often when he's obviously the Son of God? Well, I want to say this. It does not do away with his deity at all. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. I just want to show you that it very clearly talks about his deity. It doesn't say, yeah, he's just a man, he's just a man, he's just a man. It doesn't do that. It very clearly shows that he's God's son over and over and over. But it says, I want to focus and show you that God became man. Emmanuel, God with us. And all right, I'm just going to show you verses. It did not take away his deity. Luke never denies the deity of Christ. It's very clearly Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee is called the Son of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Luke chapter 4 and verse 3. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones you may be made bread. Of course, the devil is saying, are you really the Son of God? And if you are the Son of God. In verse 9, and brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from thence. So obviously he's the Son of God and claimed there, and he's trying to ruin him. And then down to verse 41. The devils also came out of many saying, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And rebuking him and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Even the demons proclaim him as the Son of God. And just one, maybe one more. Chapter 8 and verse 28. And he saw Jesus and cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. So obviously, it deals with the resurrection. It calls him the Son of God over and over. It does not do away with the deity of Christ. He was the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. That's who Jesus was. He was the aberration of all history because God had to become a man because man had sinned. And as sin passed upon all man because of one man's sin, one man had to die for all mankind. That's Jesus Christ. And so he did that. And he became a man. Well, why did he do this? Turn to Philippians. Why does it talk about the humanity of Christ? Philippians in chapter 2 gives us probably the best verses on this. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, and by the way, it says the same thing in the Gospels. It said he making himself equal with God. Jesus did that often. He accepted worship. He did all the things that God in the flesh would do. He said, hey, I'm equal with God. I am God in the flesh. And so he says this, making him he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see pretty clearly, God wanted to show us Jesus became a servant to be an example, to be humble, to show his humanity, to show that he really truly was a man who died and suffered on the cross. Jesus had to go through all that. And Luke emphasized that human side that suffered for our sins and went through all those things. And so that's the emphasis of Luke, the Son of Man. Special interest is a lot of special emphasis in Luke. There's a lot of human interest. There are a lot of human interest parables that are exclusive to Luke. There's 18 parables that are in Luke that aren't in any of the gospel. 18 different parables. And they're very familiar ones, and they're very earthly. I understand that. I know how you feel. They're very much parables of relating to mankind and down-to-earth parables. For example, the Good Samaritan is only in Luke. The lost sheep is only in Luke. The prodigal son is only in Luke. These are all earthy, human interest. I understand Jesus going down to their level type stories, and really him saying, I'm seeking people. I'm seeking the lost. And it really emphasizes that. And these are only in there. It's also a book on prayer. There's a lot about prayer with Jesus in the book of Luke. Let's go back to Luke and look at a bunch of these verses on prayer. He prays a lot in Luke, and he records his prayers. And he records him going to pray a lot in Luke. Sometimes publicly, but a lot of times his private prayer life. Luke chapter 3. In verse 21, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Chapter 5 and verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And chapter 6 and verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He says an all-night prayer meeting. Wouldn't be bad for us to do that sometime. Verse 28. Let's see. That's not the verse I want. Let me see what I got here. I got the wrong chapter written down here. And just to make sure, yep. And so those are things on prayer. His parables, he gives the parables on persistent prayer that are only in Luke. Chapter 11. And we'll see these parables of persistent prayer. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, and he won't give it to you. But verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. That's the persistent prayer parable. And then chapter 18 of Luke. Again, a lot about prayer in Luke. First, Jesus' prayer, and then certainly parables about prayer that are only found in Luke. Luke 11 is one of the great chapters in the Bible on prayer. And Luke 18, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, and chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And talks about the unjust judge and the widow and the prayer and prayer and prayer and keep on praying and do not quit praying. That's Luke. It's a special emphasis on prayer. Also in Luke, he taught his disciples to pray. Luke chapter 11. And verse 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then he goes to the next verses in the persistent prayer. Why? Because Luke is emphasizing the need of man to pray. And he's showing that Jesus had to pray too. Why? It's showing us the example. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Following Christ, what would Jesus do? Being like him, because he lived as a man. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Luke emphasizes that. Luke gives a picture of God came down and became a man. John will say God came down. It'll show he's a man also. None of them are exclusive to one or the other. But they have different emphasis. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus was God's son, yet as a man, he never sinned. Amen. Yet as a man, he taught us how to live. Yet as a man, when we go at him in prayer, it says he is able to succor us and comfort us and help us, because he's not something that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus was a Son of Man. Jesus was a human. Yes, God became man. Inside that veil of flesh, wrapped in his body, inside of there was God. Thou shalt call him Emmanuel. He was virgin born, God with us. God dwelt among men. Yet he was our example of the Son of God being a man. And so thank God we had a Savior who became man. Have you ever been around someone who just seemed like they were so perfect, you couldn't relate to them, and you thought, you're just weird. You're like fake. I mean, you meet those people, and they're not. They have sin. They're not perfect. You know, I understand. We know they've sinned. They say they have sin, but there's also people who are good Christians who you can kind of relate to. And they're maybe just as good or better of a Christian. There's just certain people who are like porcelain dolls. You're weird. You're too perfect. Fallen ship or something. And they're too perfect. But you know, God wanted us to be able to He wanted to be able to relate to us. And he also wanted us to have an example to follow. That's why I got baptized. That's why he prayed. That's why I continued all night in prayer. You think about it for a sec. You know how we make excuses for not praying? You think that maybe he didn't need to spend all night in prayer. He probably could have said whatever he wanted and God would have done it, God the Father. I think if he had our character, he probably wouldn't have prayed that much. He'd have talked himself out of it. And yet Jesus in Luke shows that he needed to go apart and spend some serious prayer time. And amazing, Jesus needed to go apart and pray, but you'll be okay without it. He's an example. And he was a human. He had to pray to get his prayers answered. And he had to go and do the work, and he had to witness, and he had to do all those things we have to do. And Luke teaches us a lot about that. All right. That's the book of Luke. It's the longest gospel. Take a long time to read it if you want to read it, but it's great, great stuff. We're going to pray and be dismissed, and we'll see you Saturday or Sunday. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for Luke. What a good book it is. What a detailed book, Lord. Events and leaders and timetables and events behind the scenes and what Jesus was doing while the disciples were in the boat and so many things in Luke that are so detailed. And thank you, Lord, we have a Savior. Thank you, Lord. You didn't just say, I'm wiping all your sins away, but you said, let me become a man. And so when we're lonely or tired or discouraged or heartbroken, we can go to you and you say, I know how that feels, because you were the Son of Man. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for being a wonderful Savior that we can relate to. Help us to follow his footsteps in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Thanks.